I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 84. The 84th Psalm. I hope to resume in the Gospel of John next Sunday. We've been back in that for several weeks now, but I'm going to take another little break today and just do a little bit of reflecting on what the past 8 or 9 weeks have brought us as a church. And not just reflecting, I want to preach the Word of God to you today, but thinking through some of what was so unusual about the last 2 months. What was so different about it? Why we missed certain things, and why it's good that we felt that way and missed certain things about our normal church life together. And then how that should affect us going forward. I'm quite sure that this is the longest period of time I have ever gone in my life. And this is not, I don't mean this to brag. This is how I was raised and brought up. And then God saved me and gave me a heart for this. But this is the longest I have ever gone without getting up on the Lord's Day and going to church. 8 weeks we haven't met together. And that may be true for some of you as well, that it's the longest you've ever gone without physically being in God's house with God's people on His day. 8 consecutive Sundays, not here, worshiping in God's house. I know we've tried to approximate some of what we normally do here with pre-recorded sermons and order of service for you to follow in your home. There were parts of that that I appreciated and enjoyed. For the first time in a long time, this is just me personally, the Lord's Day was a day of rest. It's not for me. And so that was very different. We tried to provide other ways to have connection. We met by Zoom for prayer meeting and for fellowship. We've sought to get messages out to you more frequently by short videos or emails or texts and various things along those lines. And I hope you've done that with one another. Maybe not sent videos to each other. Maybe you have. That'd be great. But I hope you've communicated with one another and tried to encourage and be a blessing to one another, since you don't get to do it every Lord's Day for these last 2 months. But all of those things, it's not the same. It's not the same as being together, excuse me, for those blessings that we receive. And so this morning, for a little bit, while some of us are gathered here in the building and some are still scattered in their homes, I want to give us some biblical anchors that help us understand what's been so unusual about this time for us as a church and excuse me, and for so many other churches as well. And the first thing I want us to see is that we're not alone. We're not the first ones to experience something like this. And then I want us to think about what we missed and why we missed it. And then lastly, how that can affect us going forward, what we can take with us going forward from this time. So first of all, we're not alone in experiencing things in the way that we have these last 2 months. And just briefly, I want us to see that others have been absent from the house of God and they missed it. They missed being in the house of God, just as I hope you have. Let's hear someone else give expression to a similar sort of longing and desire. Psalm 84, we've turned to. This is a psalm, you'll notice in the heading of it, of the sons of Korah. If you read your Old Testament through the Chronicles, you'll find that the sons of Korah were Levites. So part of that group that were to work with respect to the tabernacle and the sacrifices, and different groups of Levites had different roles. And one of the roles of the sons of Korah was to be gatekeepers in the house of God. You'll find that in Chronicles, that they were gatekeepers. And the wording is different here in Psalm 84, but it speaks of standing at the threshold in the house of God. And it may point to that role of theirs of being gatekeepers. So listen for that as we read Psalm 84. They were glad to have that role. As a gatekeeper, it meant they were at the house of God. And they loved that. And so listen to the sons of Korah from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are you are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are the highways to Zion as they go through the valley of Baca. It seems these verses describing a journey to Zion, to Jerusalem, to be able to be in the house of God. They do that in God's strength, verse 5. Verse 6, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And that's what the sons of Korah were. They were gatekeepers. The words here are different, but I think it's describing their role. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So these sons of Korah, they loved to be in God's house. They would rather be gatekeepers in God's house than dwell in tents of wickedness, verse 10. Being in the house of God was such a pleasure and a joy to them. They would rather, listen to that in verse 10, they would rather spend one day in God's house than 1,000 days somewhere else. Wow. Can we say that? Better is one day in your house than 1,000 somewhere else. Too often it seems for us that one day somewhere else is better than being in God's house. Like, something's better than being in God's house. That can get bumped off my list. But better is one day in your house than 1,000 doing anything else. It's a high standard. But you see how highly they value being in God's house. And that helps us better understand what they say at the beginning of the psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place. They love it there. They talk about singing in verse 2 and then singing in your house, verse 4. Those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. They love to be in the house of God. And so should we. Their desire to be there is, they perhaps go on this journey that's described in those middle verses. Their desire to be there is so great that they long for it. They faint for it, as it were. They have a longing to be in the house of God. They understand what it is to be away and to wish that they were there, just like we have been for the last few months. I hope you've experienced something of that longing in the last few months. I don't want you literally fainting, but I hope there's been that longing for it. That sense that you're not complete without it, that you need it as nourishment or you will faint spiritually if you're not in the house of God. We've been on an 8-week journey to get here, and for some of you still at home, the journey will still be longer. And so the sons of Korah help give expression to that longing that perhaps some of you have felt over the last months and weeks. Turn back with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is a psalm of lament, another one that expresses a very similar longing to what we just saw in Psalm 84. And if you notice the heading of Psalm 42, this too is a song of the sons of Korah, a maskil of the sons of Korah. So here are these guys again, gatekeepers in the house of God, and listen to what they have to say in the psalm of lament in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. These guys love love to be in God's house. Here it's expressed as a thirsting, a panting after God, like a deer pants after water, and to appear before him. They're separated somehow, being mocked that their God is not present, and they remember their joyous journeys to the house of God. Maybe something like they expressed in Psalm 84, that journey to Zion, was they're going up to the house of God. They remember what it is to go with song and lead God's people in procession to God's house, and they can't do that now. Don't know why. For some reason, they're separated, or maybe they're expressing the thoughts of David, who at times was separated as he was on the run. Maybe they wrote this as an expression of his words. We don't know, but something is separating them, and there's a despair almost. They're being mocked. Where is your God? And they remember, I used to go, and they're cast down. And so this well-known verse in verse 5 and part of verse 6, it's repeated in verse 11. It's at the end of verse or Psalm 43 as well. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? They're talking to themselves. And their exhortation to themselves is hope in God, for I shall again praise him. They have confidence that they're going to get back to the house of God. Hope in God. He's your salvation. And so even in the midst of difficulty and despair, which we all too often feel, there is yet hope. And I hope you've experienced that hope in the last 8 weeks. Not just despair, not just longing, but hope. I will again praise him in anticipation that he is the God of our salvation, and we have good reason for hope. But do you feel the depth of their longing? We're not the first ones to be separated from the people of God and to wish that we could be there with them. I hope that that longing, rather than something theoretical, that it's now something you understand better by experience after these last 2 months. Now, of course, it will depend on the depth of love you had beforehand for the house of God. And I want to say more about that in a moment. But if you didn't love God's house all that much to begin with, you probably haven't missed it all that much in the last 8 weeks. Hasn't been too much of a struggle, perhaps. I just want us to see in this first point, though, that we're not alone. The psalmist gives expression to some of what we've experienced, not being able to be in God's house and wishing that we could. That's happened throughout church history as well, and we're not going to take really much time here at all. But as the church has been persecuted, they've been unable to gather together often due to that persecution. And I want to be clear that I don't think we're being persecuted in Indiana. Churches were not singled out to not be able to meet. And even in other states where reopening has been not as favorable to churches, I don't really think that's religious persecution that's fueling some of that. But at times the church has not been able to meet publicly. They've had to gather underground in hiding, and that continues today in some parts of the world. In the 1918 pandemic, churches in Washington, D.C. were asked not to meet, and they didn't. For a time, as we've done for a time. And so while what we've experienced is unprecedented in our lifetimes, we've never seen something like this before. It's not unprecedented, period. Things like this have happened to the church previous times in her history. And so our experience isn't unique in that sense. We're not alone. But it is unique in that it's unfamiliar to us. And it's contrary to what we see the norm should be in Scripture. And I want us to turn to that now. So first, I just want you to see we're not alone. And if you want to find a good way to give expression, turn to some of those psalms. Psalm 84, Psalm 42, and make the words of the psalm your prayer of longing. Being absent from God's house. But secondly, this morning, what we missed and why we missed it. What is it that we missed over these last weeks? What was missing? And I want to focus on the things that we do together as a church. Maybe some of you saw it. Maybe some of you responded. I had a status on Facebook. I asked a question. What people miss most about not gathering with their church families? And I got all sorts of good responses. I don't think you'll be surprised to hear that singing and fellowship with God's people were the two of the biggest or most frequently cited things that people missed about not being able to gather together with God's people. Also high on the list were sort of variations on what I would call presence, which is really part of fellowship, but literally seeing one another's faces, physically being in one another's presence. a warm embrace, a good handshake, being able to look into each other's eyes and to encourage one another. So that's part of fellowship, but just that physical presence was high on the list of things that people missed. It can be approximated and imitated on Zoom, but man, it can't be duplicated. It's not the same. And there were other things mentioned as well. So let's work through some of the things that we missed and that many of you at home are still missing. The first one that I want to mention is the Word of God. Now, we've tried to get the Word out to you by way of pre-recorded sermons. Other churches have live streamed, but still, there's something different about receiving the Word as the people of God gathered together that's different. The ability to talk about it afterwards. And man, it's different preaching to the camera than it is preaching to, forgive me if I just stare like this, because that's what I've been doing for the last 8 weeks. I got to remember to look around the room and see your faces and engage with you. But the camera never nods off. The camera never plays with its phone during worship. The camera also doesn't look intently. The camera doesn't focus. The camera doesn't, well, I guess it does give me its undivided attention, but it doesn't nod in affirmation. It doesn't ever look inquisitive at. It doesn't look like this, huh? Like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? It never does that. And so it's different. The preaching of the word is different when it's somebody in an empty room and you sitting on your couch at home. And so we've missed that. Why is that? Why have we missed that? Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise because the preached word is so central to the mission of the New Testament church. Jesus told his disciples to make more disciples and to baptize them and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Matthew 28. And the apostles' teaching is one of the things the early church was devoted to. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. But the apostles' teaching was at the heart of what the church did. And as the apostles go about, they go about proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, to preach the Word. That's what we are to do. And in Romans 10, we see that it's through the preaching of those who are sent to preach that many people hear and believe and thus call on the name of the Lord and so are saved. That all begins with the sending of preachers and the preaching of the Word. It's central to the life of the church. It's central to the growth and health of the church. The Word, 2 Timothy 3:16, is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And so it's no surprise that we want that Word. We need that Word. And when we don't have it in the ways that we normally do, we miss it. So we've missed the preaching of the Word. Now, thank God, as a friend of mine reminded and encouraged me, the Word of God is not bound. Paul is locked up in prison and he's writing letters out and he's blessing the churches with the Word of God. And so, yes, live stream, pre-recorded sermons. We've had ways to get the Word out. But even so, I think this is one of the things that we've missed, the normal way of preaching and receiving the Word of God. So the Word, the preaching of the Word. Another thing we've missed are the sacraments. Jesus gave two ordinances to his church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm going to focus more on the Lord's Supper since it's the more regular and baptism occasional as people are saved and need to be baptized. But the Lord's Supper, and I'm not going to make a full defense today of why these things are means of grace. We receive grace in baptism and the Lord's Supper. God uses them to communicate grace to us. And so if you cut off, you're cut off from the means of grace, then you're cut off from the grace that comes to you through those means. And so if you've missed the Lord's Supper, you're missing the grace that comes to us, the blessing that comes to us from God. Jesus commanded us to eat the bread and drink the cup until he comes, 1 Corinthians 11. And if we do it wrongly, that brings judgment on us. And if we do it rightly, we receive great blessing. We need that faith-nourishing meal. And so if you've missed it, you've been missing the grace, the blessing that God brings to us through it as we obey him in it. If you're curious, we do have plans to resume the Lord's Supper in a different sort of way than we have before as far as getting the elements to you. And we'll talk more about that when the time comes. But know that that's one of the things that we want to resume as we physically gather together here. We've missed the Lord's Supper. We've missed singing as a third thing that we've missed. What a gift music is. We often connect memories with music that we heard at the time of the memory. Music can stir us deeply. When we sing praise to the Lord and encouragement to one another, the truth communicated in musical form is powerful. It is memorable. There's a reason, I think, that God calls us to sing truth and not just to recite it with no music. How often do the Psalms call us to praise the Lord and to bless His name? It's often. And we're also called to encourage one another in song, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Did you hear that? Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your heart. When we worship, we're both singing praise to God and encouraging each other by that singing. And so when we sing, for example, O church, arise and put your armor on, we're exhorting each other. We're challenging one another and encouraging one another with that song. And when we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, we're singing praise to God. And we've missed the ability to do that together. That you just can't duplicate that virtually. Not well, anyway, or not without some really polished software and editing and putting it together. If you've seen an online Zoom choir, let me tell you that somebody engineered that. It didn't just happen, you and me on Zoom, all right? So that's really hard to duplicate. Lord's Supper is very physical, tangible. We can't duplicate that when we're separated. So we miss it. And I hope you're noticing these are things God calls us to. I've been giving you commands to each of these things as we go. And so it's something God expects of us. And so it's something that we've missed. It's not the way it ought to be. It makes sense that we miss that powerful expression of truth. Hearing our brothers and sisters encourage us when they sing, it blesses me to see people that I know are suffering. They're going through deep waters and they come in here and they stand and they sing. And they praise God and they sing encouragement to one another. In the midst of their suffering, they're glad to encourage others. That does my heart good. We miss that sort of thing when we're not together. Fellowship, then, another thing that we've missed. Another one of the things the early church was devoted to, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, which I think is probably a reference to the Lord's Supper and to the prayers. And so another thing, the fellowship and everything that entails, not just chatting, but loving one another, serving one another, ministering to one another, bearing one another's burdens, rejoicing with and mourning with and weeping with one another, showing honor to one another, sharing with one another, meeting one another's needs. You hear all the one another's that are rolling out. This fellowship is about it. Sharing. It's having things in common together. And when we're not together, it's hard to share those things in common together. If I'm not able to share my burden with you and feel your hand on my shoulder and hear you pray for me and feel your comforting embrace, I miss it. God's designed that our needs in these things be met, not always directly by Him. God doesn't always just drop the encouragement straight down. He delivers it through other people. You all are channels of grace to one another to minister God's goodness and love to one another. And so when you're cut off from the channel of grace, you miss the grace that flows to you through it. And that helps us understand why we've missed that being together. And includes some of what I mentioned earlier is just physical presence. Seeing each other, not through a screen. A warm hug, a firm handshake. We're not surprised that Paul writes about physical greetings, greeting one another with a holy kiss. And when we're apart, we can't do those things. And so we miss it, most of us. Some don't like that, but I hope that you've at least missed the crux of fellowship, if not the physical contact part of it. Read Paul's last letter, the last letter before Paul dies, is 2 Timothy. And read the last chapter, And Paul is sad because he's got nobody with him. And he tells Timothy, try to get here if you can. He wants the presence of a brother in Christ with him. And we'll continue to miss this aspect as we intentionally limit the opportunity for some of it in order to limit the spread of a virus and limit the interactions that we find so precious. And so that longing isn't entirely going to go away. And we'll continue to try to approximate it with Zoom meetings. But again, it's not the same. I understand that. Another thing that we've missed is prayer. Since we've maintained a Zoom prayer meeting, that's a tolerable substitute, I think. But it's not as good as in person. This too, one of the things the early church was devoted to. They devoted, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so we miss the gathering of the church together for prayer. Although again, we've maybe not as much because we've been able to do that to some extent. Some of these things that I'm talking about that we've missed, the word and prayer, maybe we haven't missed as much because I think we've been able to more closely duplicate that. Pre-recorded sermon, Zoom prayer meeting, but singing, fellowship, the sacraments, those are things that can't really be duplicated in some ways. And so we've missed all of it. But think with me for a moment about why we miss them. We've touched, I hope you've seen as we've gone why we've missed them. But let's trace out a little bit of a train of thought. What sort of things do we usually miss? Well, we miss things or people that we had access to before, but don't now. But I've had the flu before, and I don't now, and I don't miss it. So there are things that we've had access to, things and people that we've had access to before that we don't now, that we love. And so we miss them. They're absent from our lives. And so it's important to remember that these are things that we love. If we didn't love them, we wouldn't miss them. And in this case, by God's grace and with new hearts that he's given us, we love the things that God calls us to. All the things that we talked about are things God calls his people to, commands them to, his church, to do together, to receive the word, to sing, to pray, to fellowship, and to observe the sacraments together. And by God's grace, we love them. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And enjoying these things is in some ways enjoying him. We meet Jesus in the word and sacrament. This is how God designed us in his church. Now, can you profit from the reading of the word of God on your own? And praying, singing on your own? Of course. And we need those personal spiritual disciplines day by day. But God specially meets with and blesses his people when they meet together in his name. And he calls us to do that and to not forsake it. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another in all the more as you see the day drawing near. When we meet together, we encourage one another. That's what the author of Hebrews is saying. Don't neglect meeting together so that you can encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. These gatherings together are meant to be a blessing and encouragement. And so if you've missed it, that makes sense. You've missed the gathering, then you've missed the encouragement that comes from the gathering together and the encouragement and the stirring up one another. And so for the last 8 weeks, things have not been as they are supposed to be according to God's design, and we've missed that. Think of it like this. A child should have a mom and a dad. That's how God designed it. And when one or both are missing, it's devastating to that child. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not according to God's design. And the child suffers for it. And they miss their parent or parents. And so it often is with many things in a fallen world. They are not the way that God designed them to be. They're not, in that sense, as they are supposed to be. And so we miss the way it should be. And that's what we've experienced the last 2 months. God designed the church to gather together to receive his word and sacrament and to worship and to sing and to pray and to fellowship. And with new hearts by his grace that love God and love what he calls us to, we love that design. We love that church. And we haven't had it. And so we've missed those things, right? So that's a little bit about what we've missed and maybe why we've missed it. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And so what can we learn going forward with some of these things? Well, first, I would just encourage you to not forget the longing. If you've experienced something of that, missing this, longing for it, don't forget that. In the future, when you are tempted to pass on gathering with God's people, like, it would be easier to not go today. And whether it's because you're tired or on vacation or you don't feel like it or you're lazy or whatever, don't forget. Don't take the privilege for granted and get up and go. Don't forget this. It'll be easy to say right now, oh, I'll never forget this. And in 6 months or a couple of years, you're planning your family vacation with zero thought for where you'll attend church, where you'll gather with God's people and receive and give that encouragement on the Lord's Day. And it'll be easy to forget. When you wake up a few months from now and you think, man, I'm so tired. It would be easier to just roll over and go back to church and sleep a little longer. And I've survived 8 weeks without church before. One's not a big deal. And the sermon audio is going to be posted later. And just don't forget how you missed it. And what we missed out on by not being here. Don't look back on this time and say, see, we survived, no big deal. Well, yes, of course we survived by God's grace. But it wasn't good. It wasn't what it should be for the church. Again, in a fallen world, things often are not as they should be. But that doesn't mean that it's okay. Okay for us to be okay with it. Don't allow what we've been through here to make you content with smaller periods of absence. Let it instead give you a greater desire to not have things be this way again if possible. If they need to be, so be it. But if we're letting ourselves get away with absence after absence, let's remember what we're missing and may it move us towards presence here instead of absence. Let it not be said of us that we lived as if one day elsewhere was better than one day in God's house. Remember the sons of Korah? Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. We've seen today why we miss these things. That's the way God designed it to be. Let's not forget that as we go forward. Let's not intentionally go contrary to his design. If it must be contrary to his design for a time, let's not intentionally do that. Something else as we go forward. What if you didn't miss some of these things? And really, I want you to feel the joy and the gladness that we've been able to resume meeting together today. And largely, I wanted to point you to those things so that you'll be encouraged and reminded why we loved them and why we missed them and why we're glad to be able to resume them. But I don't want to let the opportunity to challenge you go by. What if you didn't miss some of these things? Now, we're all wired differently, so you might not have missed parts of fellowship as much as others for personality reasons. But again, if you didn't miss the essence of fellowship, sharing and burden bearing, you didn't miss singing and the Lord's Supper, and you didn't bother tuning in to catch the preaching or praying together, then you didn't really miss it. Then there's something wrong. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus loves the church. He gave himself up for her. He gave himself up for the church. And if Jesus loves the church and we claim to be followers of Jesus and love Jesus, then shouldn't we love the church too? And the things that the church does when she's gathered together, and shouldn't we miss it when we're separated from those things? We should delight to obey him in gathering together for these things. Should love to sit under his word and fellowship and sing to him and to one another and to partake of his supper. And if we don't love those things and we haven't missed them, it's a sign of a lack of spiritual health on our parts. And if this pandemic serves to open our eyes to the reality that our spiritual health is not what it needs to be, or not what we thought it was, then praise God, it'll have served you well. Good will come from the pandemic if it shows you that I don't love Christ and his church the way that I should. Maybe it'll open the eyes of some to see they're not believers at all. If that's the case, praise God for that and run to him for salvation. If you would have said before that the church, the gathered body of Christ, is important, but the shutdown has revealed that it's not really that important to you because you didn't really miss it, then pray God would open your eyes to the importance of some of these things we've talked about: the word, sacrament, prayer, fellowship, singing, the gathering together of God's people. Pray your desire for his day and his house and his people would grow and deepen, just as I need to pray for myself. And then some of you were glad not to be here. You don't profess faith in Christ. You don't know him. Your faith is not in him. And you thought it was kind of neat that you didn't have to go to church for the last 8 weeks. I pray that you'll see your need of a new heart, your need of the Savior, your need of his church. Maybe you found there was a thing or two that you did miss. I pray that God would take even that tiniest little spark and fan it into flame and give you a heart for him that loves him, that wants to be with him, that wants to draw near to him. Pray that God would do that work, that he'd give you a new heart, that he would save you. As we go forward, I'd say this, understand we may have to do it again. We hope not. It's obviously less than ideal. But if we do, we'll do well to remember this time, not so that we're filled with dread, so that we understand what we're missing and why and what we can do about it. And in some ways, there's not a lot we can do, but I hope you've noticed we've made real effort to mitigate some of these things. Let's make use of them if we ever have to go through something like this again. Again, we'll never be able to do virtual Lord's Supper or truly sing together while we're separate, but let's make good use of what we can to get as close to these things as possible. And then I just want to conclude by reminding you of Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And here we are in his house again today with the opportunity to praise him today. And I pray that you will hope in God in the midst of discouragement and despair. I hope it's been good for you to remember the blessing of the church gathering together. Remember what we've missed. We've missed the word and the Lord's Supper and singing and embracing one another and bearing burdens face to face and praying together with one another. And I hope in some ways that's an encouragement, because here we are doing a lot of those things today in ways that we haven't been able to. And I hope that does give you hope. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I hope that you're filled with thanksgiving that God has gathered us back together today, and that we have the opportunity to be here to worship. If you felt something of the longing of missing it, I hope today you feel something of the gratitude and the praise and the thanksgiving. And if you're still at home, the anticipation of being able to join with us for these things in weeks to come. So let it fill you with hope and thanksgiving. I pray God will have used this time to deepen that thanksgiving and our conviction regarding the importance of these things that the church does together. I pray we'll be filled with greater love for and worship for God as we see the goodness of his design, because we've missed his design. And thank you all for persevering through these days. May God give us grace for these things, whatever lies ahead, and the steps that we'll have to take. Give us grace, give us wisdom, but may we never lose a heart of love for God and his church and his design for his church and the good that comes to us through his church. And so the word, singing, sacraments, fellowship, and the prayers. These are things that we've missed. These are things that by God's grace we can resume to some degree together again. And we praise him for it. And let's pray together as we thank him for it.